episode of the Habitual Sinners podcast. We're going to be back with you guys. Like we said, we're going to be going every other week. So took a week off, spent a little bit more time reading through what we're going to talk about today, and got a new recording program because Zoom went terrible for us last time. So hopefully this works better. But yeah, we're just trying to work some kinks right now, but good to be back. And so today, we're just going to go through, Shane, we've been talking about this a lot, been reading a lot of Paul's books in the New Testament, and this week we're going to focus on Paul's letter to Rome, so the book of Romans, and just kind of walk through and highlight some stuff that we liked from it, and have a conversation.
I like Kyle said, we're trying out a new service, so it might be junk, it might be better, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Either way, so this week was kind of a cakewalk for me, because as our church, we've been reading the New Testament in a year, and we've been going through the book of Romans. Actually, right now, that's kind of what prompted me to suggest this topic. I don't think, Kyle, I've actually sat down and, I mean, I've read the book of Romans, but I haven't, mm-hmm. thoroughly read out and tried to study the book of Romans, and I mean, right. It is packed. I mean, it is dense. Like, you could probably only read Romans for the rest of your life and learn something every time.
So this was the first book I read when I kind of fell back into the Lord's grace a little bit earlier this year. This is the first book I read. I read Romans, and then I went to Luke. So yeah, I had to go way back in my journal to find my notes on this. I read through those a little bit, but I also read through it again, of course. But so yeah, I'm interested to get this going. I'd love this. I think everything Paul writes is amazing, but.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I guess just a bit of background. So book of Romans. So obviously written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing it to the church in Rome. There's a group of believers in Rome that's starting up. He writes this. They date it to 56 to 58 AD. And he's in Corinth, Greece, when he writes this. So he's on his third missionary journey, and he's anticipating his trip back to Jerusalem as he's writing this. And he knows that when he gets to Jerusalem, he ultimately wants to make his way to Rome. I don't know if he necessarily knows that he's going to get to Rome in the fashion that he does, but that is his goal, is to get to Rome. Right. And we kind of see... We kind of get this information from Acts 20. We get in Acts 20, it recounts Paul traveling to Macedonia and Greece, Corinth, before returning back to Jerusalem. So Paul is essentially a long-winded letter to the Romans before Paul decides to travel to Rome.
Yeah, so... It's actually his longest of his New Testament letters, which he writes 13, which is very, very impressive. But this is the longest one of the 13. And it's essentially just a very elaborate discussion on salvation and the justification of faith alone and really what that means to us as humans, because it's It's a new concept to even the Jewish people. So it's really just him trying to explain that. And sorry, I had a terribly dry throat today. He just kind of works through it. It's very elaborate, and it's very detail-oriented and packed and information-packed. I think that's why it is his longest and one of my favorite of his to read. So, I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, so caveat, if you haven't read it yet, I would highly recommend jumping into Romans. Wherever you're at in the Bible, jump in. But something that I actually found, I didn't break it down this way, but I found this online, and I thought it kind of broke Romans down into four kind of digestible sections, and I thought this made a lot of sense to me. So there's 16 chapters in the book of Romans, 1 through 4. Paul is revealing God's righteousness, 5 through 8. Paul talks about creating a new humanity in terms of following Jesus Christ and having faith in Jesus Christ, right? That new covenant. 9 through 11, Paul talks about fulfilling God's promise to Israel. So he's not, you know, he's talking a lot about the Gentiles and about how, right, that's part of the new covenant, is that the Gentiles are being brought in, but that God hasn't forgotten Israel in all of this. And 12 through 16, Paul is relaying the concept of a unified church. So you kind of start jumping in. So when Paul is revealing God's righteousness, when we're looking kind of specifically chapters 1 through 4, so Paul is really kind of, the word righteousness is kind of a key word here. And for Paul, righteousness, it's a rich word from the Hebrew scriptures that describes God's character. And what we're kind of getting at is that it means that God always acts in a way that is just and right, and that God is faithful and just to fulfill his promises. And the essence of this is that the story of Jesus shows how God has done both of these things and is fulfilling God's righteousness.
Yeah, and I think Paul does a great job in all of his letters, because, like, imagine being in Paul's shoes, right? Like, he's, like, the leading advocate trying to set up a new church, and he's no method of fast communication or transportation, and he's doing it all the way from, you know, like, he writes letters to several different civilizations and establishments at the time, and he's doing it from, like, he does it from a jail cell, like, everything else, so... I always love when he starts out, because he always starts out real friendly in all of his letters. You know, always not friendly, but, you know, just, like, introduces himself and is like, oh, you know, like, praying for you and everything else. And I just think, like, especially, and he does this in chapters 1 through 4 here, but it's always just, I think, a great example of how we, as, like, modern-day Christians can go about, like, speaking to other individuals, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Paul's never even met these people, nothing, and he's overly friendly, and it's clear that when you read this, you're like, his joy, his friendliness, all that comes from his belief and his faith. And so I think that that's just, like, a prime example of this, especially in the early chapters of Romans.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that's a great point. You can learn so much just by Paul's demeanor and how he's writing to people and I mean, spreading the gospel in its purest form. And you read his letters, the gospels are, I mean, obviously beautiful, right? It's Jesus's biography, but some of Paul's letters, I think, almost stick a little better in terms of that, you know, sometimes you get lost in the parables a little bit, but Paul, yeah, a lot of times gets straight to the point in his bare bones and just says it how it is, and I really enjoy that. I did kind of note, so in Acts, when you're watching Paul as he goes into a new place to preach, he stops in the synagogue first, and he always tries to preach to the Jews, and some of the Jews, you know, look at the Old Testament scriptures, and they're like, oh yeah, Jesus Christ is the guy that we've been waiting for. Yeah, this guy makes a lot of sense. Okay. And then, you know, obviously a lot of them don't agree with Paul, and you know, their hearts are hardened and whatever, and then Paul moves on to the Gentiles. And we see this in this letter too, something that I noticed, that chapter 1 and 2, chapter 3, and actually chapter 4 too, Paul is kind of laying out to the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, like, he is the one you've been waiting for, and he lays that out. He retells Genesis 3 through 11. And he shows how the world became trapped in a spiral of sin. And he's kind of relaying and showing that you may follow the law, but the human heart is broken, right? He's laying the seeds of, we need a Savior, we need the Messiah, we need Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, he kind of moves into, you know, again, adherence to the law is not going to save him. Chapter 3, he really starts pointing at the Jews and is kind of condemning them, showing them that how many advantages they've had being God's chosen people and are still rejecting Christ Jesus. And then he moves on into chapter 4 where he's showing that the Gentiles are all part of God's covenant. And that is now, you know, that has always been the plan, to bring all nations into the fold. He cites scripture here, Genesis chapter 15. And I think it, you know, it parallels a lot of, it's kind of showing that Paul is setting the seeds of he knows he's going to travel here, and he's setting up the early church in Rome. He's sowing the correct foundations for good Christian doctrine and a good, you know, a sound faith in Jesus Christ. And I think if you just as a person, you know, read that as Paul is writing this letter to me, you can gain a lot from it.
Yeah. You know, and I was going to make that point too, is that especially like, yeah, like he's trying to explain to the Jewish people who have been for generations have believed this, like, hey, like your belief alone won't save you. It's like the adherence to this law, and like the law is, you know, you follow the law and you get into heaven, like that's the plan. And then, like, here comes Paul, this radical new way of thinking, right? Imagine being a Jew, and all of a sudden this guy is coming to you, and he's like, hey, actually, no matter how closely you think you're following that law, like, you're going to fall short a lot. But if you just, you know, have faith and know that Jesus died for our sins, then you're saved. And so that's, like, and although, like, obviously, like, I'd, like, being raised in a like Christian household, like have known this from a young age, like it's still a good thing to go back and read, because it's like, hey, when it comes down to it, you know, like when you fall short, because we're gonna fall short, it's a good thing to fall back on. So it's always been like a reassuring thing, like a theme.
To your point, it's a great thing to fall back on. Like it. You wake up every day with the best intentions and we still sin, right? Our hearts are inherent to sin. We have the original sin, and yes, we can do better and we can get better and we can, you know, work on growing closer with God, which ultimately, you know, starts to highlight to us more sin. But even then, you know, there's still things that just we do where it's like, but being able to, you know, come back to that, you know, it's not adherence to the law. It is the fact that Jesus Christ, you know, died and saved us. So moving in, chapters 5 through 8 is kind of the next section that's broken down, where Paul is highlighting creating a new humanity. And so in chapter 4, right, we're kind of moving into Jews and Gentiles being brought into the fold, and that's where chapter 5 kind of leads off into that Jesus is forming a new covenant, family of people from all nations. And Paul is also, again, highlighting God's promises in the Torah to the Jews here. He takes a look at Adam in chapter 5. And then in chapter 6 is really where we start to get where Paul is kind of building us to where's the transformation to being a Christian. So in chapter 6, Paul reminds the Christians in Rome that following Jesus means leaving their old Adam-like humanity behind and entering the new Jesus-style humanity. So it's really, you know, it's the rebirth, it's the baptism into being a follower of Christ. And that's where kind of where Paul has been leading us to, where we're getting into chapter 6, 7, and we really highlight this a lot in probably chapters 6 through 11 or so. But that's, you know, Paul has led us, you know, to this point, and it's all about, you know, being born again in Christ, and really making that transformational change. And that transformational change isn't so much as we have to take initiative and change this and change that, right? Like, you know, God doesn't call the perfect, right? He makes, you know, I'm messing the adage up, but you don't have to be perfect to come to God. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. You come as you are, and you're made perfect through Christ Jesus.
Yeah. No, I agree. Especially, I think, like, especially in chapter 7, like, he really drives home the point that it's like yes, like, the Torah was good, and it showed God's will, and like, tells, you know, like, gives us, like, the commandments, and then, like, walks you through the history of the Israelites and everything, but it's like, he's making it clear that the Torah alone, and the law, and the old commandments alone won't save you from evil, right? Like, evil is gonna win and get into our heart, hijack our heart, and make us do actions. Like, we're gonna do things that aren't holy and against the law and everything like that.
I mean, I think the Torah and the original commandments are, I mean, they kind of show us that we're, like if that's the criteria to heaven, nobody's ever gonna make it.
Yeah, exactly, and he lays that out. And I actually, so it's Romans chapter 7, verse 19. Paul writes it, and he goes, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but evil I do not want to do, this I continue to keep doing." And this is Paul. Like, he's saying this, writing it to the Romans, like, "Hey guys, look, I'm like the leader of the church right now, trying to set this thing up, and even I continually fall short of these things that I necessarily don't want to do, but I still do because I'm human."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a verse that I highlighted the first time I read through it, and I continually go back and read it, because it's like, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just like, oh, like, why do I keep doing these things? You know, it's like trying to do everything right, and you just can't. I'd love to be able to go back and be like, hey, look, even Paul, you know, Paul was feeling my pain, and so that's, I just wanted to highlight that real quick.
No, that's perfect. I think that's a trap that so many of us fall into, is that we fall into a repeating sin, and instead of coming to God with it and repenting and looking for the answers in the good book and looking for the answers in prayer, we almost try to hide that within ourselves. Like, man, I'm trying to be this good Christian, this follower of Christ, and I'm continually doing this. We almost bury it down, and I think that's what, I mean, ultimately, I think that's what Satan wants us to do, right? Because yeah. we're never gonna solve it if we don't ask for the forgiveness of what we're doing, and, right. And we don't come in repentance to the Father and look for help from the Father. And I think, I mean, Paul lays it out perfectly there. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, right. Because if you start to lose yourself to the shame of your actions or whatever, and that leads to you praying less or not reading as much because you're, you know, ashamed because you keep falling short in your actions, that's Satan winning, because at the end of the day, like, he's trying to drive that wedge between you and the Lord.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think it's, like, that's why it's so powerful to me, is because it really helps me not allow, like, shame or whatever to keep me from praying.
So, chapters 9 through 11, we get into fulfilling God's promise to Israel. So we get into a little bit of Old Testament prophecy, and he's talking about, you know, Paul actually starts with expressing anguish over his fellow Israelites that don't think Jesus is their Messiah, and he reflects on the Israel of the past and of the Old Testament, and he's trying to iterate that, you know, even being an ethnic Israelite, a physical descendant of Abraham, that doesn't automatically make you a faithful member of the family of the Jewish community. And he always, you know, his point is that this line that has been broken and has been carried through the family of Abraham is now the line, is the promise is now being carried by those who follow Jesus. So it's no longer an ethnic heritage, but it's a spiritual heritage. It's those that accept that Christ Jesus is their Savior, and they accept the Spirit into their life. And he kind of relays that again in chapter 10. And again, he's showing remorse that they're not recognizing what God has done through Jesus to create a new covenant. You almost, you know, you hear pain. You know, Paul is almost, you know, it's almost a little bit of a sorrowful section where he's, you know, relaying that, you know, he's upset that they're not getting it, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just imagine, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've necessarily had to deal with that, but if you have all this, like, know this good news to be true, and this good news that every human on earth could be saved and have eternal life, and all because Jesus, of his actions on the cross, and trying to relay that to somebody who has been a group of people that have been very heavily touched on by God, you know, in their history. Like, I feel like watching someone like that not be able to get it and become joyous with the good news, that, I mean, I can get why Paul would be, you know, very sad.
I mean, honestly, looking into, like, our everyday lives, if we were truly living, you know, as better Christians than we are, better followers of Christ, like, we should feel that for people, you know, that we know.
Yeah.
And I think to some degree, like, not to some degree, I do. I definitely do. I definitely feel that for people I know. I definitely send prayers up for people that I feel are, you know, they seem troubled, and I send prayers up for them. You know, God touched their lives. But I think that I think a lot of good would come to the world if every Christian made it their mission to spread the gospel and to if every Christian acted as Paul, the world would be a much better place, and Christ would be known throughout the world by all.
Yeah.
It's something this pastor, Cliff Kenchel, I'm butchering his last name, but he's all over, he ends up on my Instagram. It's always him preaching or on a college campus talking to non-believers, and he's great.
Yeah.
And he's honestly awesome. And one thing that he says is that for him to not proclaim the good news to everyone he meets would be hypocrisy to him, because he's like, I know how history is going to end. I know how it's going to end. And he's like, and I don't want to get to the end and someone I know be like, Cliff, why didn't you tell me that this is how it was going to end? And yeah. Cliff, you know, rebuke him. You know, he's like, that's hypocrisy for me. I can't do that. And truth be told, like, I mean, that's an attitude we should all take as Christians. You know, we shouldn't, for the fear of making a conversation awkward, we shouldn't stray away from the topic of Jesus Christ. You know, we should, and I'm not saying that everyone needs to go be a street preacher or everyone needs to, you know, make YouTube videos about faith or whatever. And actually, that's a great segue into chapter 12. Because in chapter 12, Paul talks specifically about different people in the church using their different gifts given by God to perform different tasks for the church. He actually talks about love will look like everyone using their diverse gifts and talents to serve one another. So So it's not that you have to be a preacher or you have to do XYZ. It's pray, give your life to God. God has given you talents and abilities, and He knows how to use those talents and abilities to spread His love and His word.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point. I see that guy on my Instagram feed all the time, actually. It's funny. He needs to come to my campus is what he needs to do, because...
If you figure out he's coming to your campus, I'm going to show up. I just want to listen. I was listening to him on a podcast. Getting sidetracked, but I was listening to him on a podcast, and I think he said he goes to a campus if, like, two student groups reach out to him. I think it has to be more than one student group, so if you can rally the cause, maybe.
Probably. I don't know if we have two student groups. No, we do on campus. We do. But it's like, I know, like, our latest, like, they put out, like, our numbers every year, like, our demographics on campus. And it was, I think it was last year, we're, like, 5% openly Christian on our campus.
Man, that's rough.
Like, I think we only have, like, 8,000, like, undergrad students, and those are the people that get
Yeah.
But it's, like, right. 5% of 8,000.
That's not a lot.
Not at all.
Man, that's sad. Well, I guess we're going to have to pray for him.
Sure.
Extra gram to pray for him. But 12 through 16. So 12 through 16, Paul is showing us how to live as a Christian and really is the commitment of love and forgiveness. And that's what he's trying, just really showcasing here. How Christian virtue and love actually fulfill the Torah's greatest commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. And that's kind of how he's wrapping this book up, is that what we should be showing as a Christian, in the end does actually fulfill, the Torah's commandments.
Yeah. No, 100%, man.
So I read this book, I read a chapter a day, but just to kind of highlight how I've been reading this, because, so the first time I read Romans, I didn't take this much away from it. This time I read Romans, I read a chapter a day, but I legitimately spent 45 minutes reading the chapter, and I was writing everything that was coming to my mind, all the scripture that was getting pointed out, and what I've also was doing was praying before and after, and that is kind of searing in more of these lessons. I'm still not memorizing scripture. Maybe I'll get good at that one day, but I was never good at memorizing the spelling on my flashcards either, so
yeah.
Maybe that's not for me, but I think getting the high level and understanding, you know, what's going on, and the more you read it, the more you'll find out, but it's just, I want to read it again, but I opened up 1 Corinthians today and read the first chapter. I was like, oh, we got another fire letter inbound.
Yeah, no, Corinthians is... I read Corinthians actually right after Romans, too. Sorry, I'm, like, reading through, like my notes from when I was reading, like, through Romans and stuff. And so I, like, cross over from Romans to Corinthians. But, yeah. No, 100%. I think, like, the praying before... Like, I had a youth group leader was like if you don't pray before you, like, open up that Bible, like, you're just missing out on so, it's like stretching, like, not stretching before you lift, or like lifting and not eating properly before and after. It's like, yeah, like, you did the thing, but you didn't prep your body to make the most of it, you know?
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah. And I've noticed a difference, because, like, sometimes I won't, like, it'll just slip my mind, I won't, and I read, and I'll get, like, halfway through a chapter or something like that, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't feel like, you know, all the way there. And so, yeah, I think, like, the praying before you open up the Bible is, even if it's something simple, like, I just usually ask, I'm like, hey, you know, can you open my heart up to the, and, you know, really let the Holy Spirit, like, guide my mind as I read through this. But
facts, that's all you need to do. Just ask. You keep knocking at the door, and he'll open it.
But yeah, no, 100%. I'm glad that we did this, because it really got me to go back through and read through some of the stuff, and you know.
Yeah, like I said, it was a little cheating for me. I was already reading it, so I can keep up with our men's group on Wednesdays. But but I made some extra notes for this. I had to go back through it and pull up everything again. And I really enjoyed Romans. I'm looking forward to reading it again. It'll have to be. I mean, I got so many other books to read, but it's up there. Next week I talk to Kelsey. I think we might have our first guest on the podcast. Or it won't be next week. 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
2 weeks from now, we might have our first guest on the podcast. So for all those, our little sister, I won't say the better of the siblings, but sometimes she gives us a run for our money. Just came back from a mission trip. I'm going to butcher the name of the country she went to, so I'm not even going to try. But hopefully we'll have her on the podcast, and ask her some questions, and she can tell us some stories about where she went and what all she did.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that, because, again, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, but the country where she went, Christianity is illegal, and so they weren't like allowed to openly, you know, be like, hey, we're on a Christian mission trip here. But so she was over there in the Middle East, in a place where it's not like America, where you can worship whatever you want freely and without repercussion. So I think it'll be interesting to dive into that a little bit. So
Oh, yeah.
But yet, Romans, great book. And I know we just kind of like gave like an overview and everything today, because if we were going to break stuff down, we could do a whole season on Romans.
we could spend an hour on a chapter.
And that's at a level of understanding and that I don't think I can do.
Yeah, I'd like to, again, caveat, we're kind of two idiots over here just trying to dissect. Dissect the Bible in layman's terms.
So I'm looking forward to that. Romans, and we encourage you all to go read it on your own, because it's I know we talked a lot that it's written, you know, specifically for like the Romans and the Gentiles of the time and everything like that, but Paul writes it in a way that it is universally relatable, and you can, every chapter, you can pull stuff out of and apply it to your life right away. I think it's a very motivating book to read, and I know that I know you talked about it and I talked about it, but yeah, it's one of my favorites. So
yep. Well, that about wraps us up this week. Thank you everybody for tuning in. And we'll see you again in about 2 weeks. So stay safe and God bless.
Yeah, God bless.